recording here with Norma Chair, my good friend, who we're going to talk to here in a second. This is, of course, our ongoing series of bonus interviews that we're doing in between seasons now, leading up to, of course, the final season, season six, which is coming up here in a little while. But of course, in the meantime, we've got these great bonus bonus interviews with some of our behind the scenes people. And this is one of our cast members here, Norma Chair, who has played the role of
Council Seat Harris.
Yes, Council Seat Harris. So, so welcome, Norm, to our interview here. So I always like to start with a little backstory first. So I'd like to start with, tell us a little bit about where you were born and a little bit about that time period, and then kind of like what influenced you early on as an artist? Like, how did you sort of emerge as an artist from that environment?
I don't know this. I don't know why. I think my mother was, my mom was offered a Hollywood screen test when she was younger. And her parents were not, they didn't want anything to do with it. And I think she always wanted to do this, and she supported everything. And I you know for a fact, I did a lot of crazy stuff. She supported it all, right? Yeah. So,
was it her influence on you then? Is that where that kind of started you as an artist then?
Well, I recently had to clean my basement out, and I'm finding books and stories. I found plays I started to write when I was about 12, 13 years old. Okay. And I think that's why I never did well in school, because I was always too busy writing my own stuff. I don't want to be bothered with this, their history and all.
So do you remember when you first started writing? Was it before even 12, or was that where you
kind of... Before then, I remember I found this story. Some girl typed something out for me I found recently, and I was really young, and I can't believe that they didn't institutionalize me, because I was like around 12 or something. I wrote a story about necrophilia. And I'm not lying, this is true. The story was called Sally, and we actually made a small short film about it with Channel 31 when that was a big suburban cable. So I'm lucky.
What were you always like when you were younger and evolving later, obviously, but did you always start with more like horror kind of stuff, like macabre kind of stuff, or did you write different things?
Yeah. I was always into horror, mostly dark comedy. And and I'm finding now that I realize at this point that it's just an obsession. I mean, you've seen, like, we make movies, I'm risking people's lives to do stuff. I was showing you my basement.
Right.
I mean, we have fights on moving cars, and and I don't know what propelled that, but I think it's, I did some research. It's a chemical thing. I don't really, like, some people do narcotics. This is what I do, you know?
Right. Well, who were your first, like, when you first started emerging as an artist and as a writer, who were the people you were looking at as contemporaries that you thought were influential to you, that had an impact on what you did or how you approached it, or, you know, whatever that impact was?
Well, I know as a kid, I read a lot of Edgar Allan Poe. And then I think one of my biggest influences, because I'm working, making plays now, I'm working on plays now, was James Goldman. Because his play, The Lion and Winner, it's like probably one of the best plays ever written. And I love it. I just wanted to recreate something like that, you know? Cool. Not that story, that with that dialogue and that type of thing, you know?
So that style of writing and his dialogue, yeah, is one of those things that had an impact on you.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of see that, because your writing is elaborate, especially for somebody who is in horror. Like, your dialogue is not typical dialogue I find in horror films. There's more thought, it's definitely more thinking going on there. Yeah.
I try and give everybody a different meter or rhyme to their voice, you know?
Yeah.
Like in real.
When did the acting start? How far back does that go? Because I know we started with writing, right? And then was acting next, or what was the transition there?
And then they made the mistake of getting me a camera. And then I actually went up to New York. I studied with Lee Strasberg for a while. And I studied there was a Philadelphia Dramatic Academy that was around 18th and Chestnut. I used to go there for a couple years. And I met one guy. We started trying to make films, and we started putting stuff out there. We just started making them. And I got like three or four films now I'm ready to put out.
Yeah, I know you never stopped. So
yeah.
Did you start what you started shooting in the 70s?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Because I know a lot of the archival stuff that I got to work with yours looked like it was from the earlier 80s, like late 70s, I thought, some of it, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the project we're going now, the Serial Killers Handbook, I have like 50 years of footage that we're gathering to put together for that, so.
So it's all this crazy footage you shot. Now, at that time, you were studying martial arts, you were doing stunts, like, what was motivating? Where did that come from? Like, did you study other films that kind of motivated that, or where did you get that? Where did that come from?
I was bullied a lot when I was a kid, and I started doing. I started actually with judo. Well, actually, I was doing karate in my basement. I picked up books, then I got into judo, and I was doing taekwondo, and then I ended up being able to actually teach. So that was really cool.
So you just kind of translated that over into the films then? Is that kind of what was the
trend? Yeah, okay. And then we'd be writing. Bruce Lee. I saw Bruce Lee movies. So.
Okay. It comes from something. Is that where the stunt aspect of it came from too? Because you're doing some crazy stuff in that footage where you guys are jumping off of, you know, train trestles and onto moving cars and, you know, across moving cars, and there's always moving cars. And then there's explosions and, you know.
And my buddy who, this is funny, like I, and he actually gets hit by the car in the scene. And I realized, he told me, you didn't speed up the camera. That car hit him about 40 miles an hour. And he flies on. And thank you, God. Thank you, universe. I'm so glad I didn't get killed or kill anybody.
What's the worst accident you guys have? What was the worst injury?
Okay, well, the statute of limitations has run out, so I'm going to tell you. we're making the Vietnam. I think you might have seen the Vietnam flick we made.
Yeah.
And this kid had made pipe bombs. He put pipe bombs in. And we had the actor, Tim McCluskey. He's actually going to be in a documentary we're making about this. But he was running. He practiced about 10, 15 times. He hits his trampoline, right? And he flies off. And he does it perfect. Does it 15 times. So we put the protective equipment on him, right? The bombs are, we're going to put them off. The bombs are have cylinders that direct everything straight into the air. So nobody's going to get hurt, right? Boom, boom. He flips over. Everybody's applauding. This is great. This is great, right? He says, Norm, take me to the hospital. I said, what happened? He says, the protective equipment broke his collarbone.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, so.
Well, I mean, at least it wasn't, it could have been worse. A lot worse.
Oh, no, I know. But it's just like.
Wow.
So again, I'm so grateful.
So the impact of that was what broke his collarbone, the protective equipment.
Protective equipment. If he wasn't wearing that, he would have been. Because the bombs were like enough away from shot straight in the air.
Okay, cool. So that's ironic, but it's nice to hear that was as bad as it got. So when you started acting then, did you always keep writing at the same time, or did one take over from the other?
I write it and then I want to go out and shoot it.
Okay, so you just kind of, it was just write, shoot. And then you were directing and shooting too? Were you doing everything, or what was going on there?
Oh, we're directing, shooting, and that's why I'm trying to collect all these stories from behind the scenes. I don't really know, you know?
Were you cutting too? Were you editing as well at the end?
Yeah, but I'm doing that Super 8 edit. I don't know if you ever added on that,
Oh, I've
but
done it. Yeah, I've
I
done.
do not mix film at all. I don't mix it at all.
Okay, so you did you came up on cut and splice and stuff like that too.
Yeah. Can I tell you one of my favorite stories?
Yeah.
We were doing a thing called the Waltz of Death, the dance you don't want to learn. And I had a guy supposedly like hanging. Well, he was hanging off a 60-foot trestle, right? Supposedly I just killed him and one of those deals. And as we're doing it, the railroad police are coming along. And I said, oh my God, I got this guy hanging off the side of the trestle, right? So as they come along, I take the camera and I shoot them like on a somebody just taking in the scenery. And they drove by, they looked at me, they never noticed I had a body hanging off the side of the trestle. So that was fun.
Now,
That
a
was
lot of this footage is showing up in Serial Killer Handbook, right?
yes.
Okay. Yeah, we used it for another film called Disturbing Images, which people can find out
Oh,
there. Yep. Which I had the pleasure of directing and shooting and working with Norm here on. And he stars in, by the way. But yeah, so look up Disturbing Images. But of course, Serial Killer's Handbook now. Do you have a TikTok channel that where you're posting stuff like Facebook, like Instagram? Where are you posting?
I'm trying to get better with that because things have been going on, so I can't get to it all the time. But I'm trying to post on TikTok, Instagram, and I'm going to try and start a Facebook channel. We have one, but it closed down.
And and how do people find you on, say, TikTok? Is it at Norma Chera or is it at what's the tag?
It's a Dark Universe 21C.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so they can type in Dark Universe 21C and they can find you that way.
Instagram, yeah,
Instagram,
and
okay. What about TikTok?
I think it's just Serial Killer's Handbook.
Okay, Serial Killer's Handbook. So they look that up, they can find you that way. Okay, cool. Now, let's talk about some more current projects then. Now, of course, you're working with us on the podcast. You play Colonel Harris, I'm sorry, Council Seat Harris. And of course, we're going to be talking more about that. Now, we can't really talk about this too much right now because of things that are going on. But you were in for there for the first season, so you're on Earth. So you're kind of in that starting point and kind of the nemesis to my character a bit, Jonas. So we've been playing off of that. And of course, that's pretty much all I can say right now. So we can't really talk about anything else. But that's what you do.
I would like to say that
Yeah.
I want to thank you and Jenny so much because I think Council Seat Harris is the best character. He's so incredible.
Cool,
He's
thank
so
you.
good. He's evil. I mean, if nothing else, he's the most evil man in the universe. There's no doubt.
Well, we do know he does have a plot to take over the universe. That is like his thing. He is, he has greater aspirations for sure.
Man, you stole that from me.
Well, you certainly motivated it, that's for sure. So, but yeah, so you definitely added the fuel to his evil fire. Now, besides that, though, you're doing some other things that I want to talk about. You also have a book series you've done, which I believe your shirt is kind of reflective of there, called The Gravity Box.
I just happen to have a couple copies of
Very
the
cool.
book. They just happen to be sitting here. So
There you
the Gravity
go.
Box,
Now, tell us,
those two.
yeah, talk about that a little bit, because this is not your normal, I was actually kind of surprised that you wrote this, because I didn't know you did more like. It's more like a Harry Potter sci-fi kind of vibe. It's not like it's dark, but it's not like horrific, and it's also like kids can read this. This is something that like a whole family can enjoy, which I found was kind of cool. So tell me about where did that come from?
I don't know, like they, I think, they say your brain's a receiver to the universe. All at once I started coming up with this idea, and then I don't know where they came from, but I wrote that about 30 some years ago, the first one, and then I just decided, let me start putting this stuff out. I have all these books and stuff that are just sitting in my basement, and but it's a young adult book. I get some nice feedback on it, so that's nice. I just start putting it out there more.
And where can people, is that on Amazon or where can people find that?
You can find Amazon. If you go to the gravitybox.com,
There we go.
one word, thegravitybox.com. That'll tell you how to get to it.
Okay, it's gravitybox.com. You can find it there. Okay, cool. So, and you have two books out now. You're writing the third?
Yeah, I'm writing the third now.
Very cool.
And it's coming along really good. So first it was like slow, but now it's coming out. So.
Google Norm on this stuff, Norm Machera. Look up his Dark Universe. Look him up on TikTok under, of course, Circulus Handbook. And yeah, and of course, maybe more down the road with Void 2. All right. Thanks again for joining us today, Norm.
Thank you for letting me be involved with all this. Thank you.
My pleasure, brother.